They held on to the will of God, so we are told. They would not bow their knees to the idol made of gold. They were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. But here is a story from the good book we know. A story about a miracle that happened long ago. We hope that you'll take courage when temptation you shall meet. There's somebody watching over you who's strong when you are weak.
They wouldn't bend.
They held on to the will of God, so we are told.
They wouldn't bow.
They would not bow their knees to the idol made of gold.
They wouldn't burn.
They were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Now the prophet Daniel tells about three men who walked with God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, before the wicked king they stood. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he found them and thrown. But the fire was so hot, the men were slain, that forced them on their way. They held on to the will of God, so we are told.
They wouldn't bow.
They would not bow their knees to the idols made of gold.
They wouldn't burn.
They were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Now when these three were cast in, the king rose up to witness this awful fate. He began to tremble at what he saw, and astonished tones he spake. Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of that fire? For lo, I see four men unhurt, unbound, walking down there.
They wouldn't bend.
They held on to the will of God, so we are told.
They wouldn't bow.
They would not bow their knees to God.
They
were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Then Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the fiery coals they trod. And the form of the fourth man I see is like the Son of God.
They wouldn't bend.
They held on to the will of God, so we are told.
They wouldn't bow.
They would not bow their knees to the idols made of gold.
They wouldn't burn.
They were protected by the fourth man in the fire.
They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn.
They wouldn't bend,
they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn.
If you're there in Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, would you say amen? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today, and Lord, open up our eyes through your Spirit that we'd be close to you. Touch, bless every heart today, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Living up to your name. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how many names in Scripture are changed according to the will of God, the purpose of God, that God was declaring to all the world around them that His blessing and His purpose was on this individual, that the Lord was doing a great work in their life? For example, if you go to Genesis chapter 17, you'll find that Abram was renamed Abraham, and it carried great meaning. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the Almighty God. Obey me and always do what is right." God said, "I make this covenant with you. I promise that you will be the ancestor of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham, because I am making you the ancestor of many nations." That name that carried a great purpose and meaning. And also in Genesis chapter 32, in verse 28, Jacob was renamed Israel. The Bible says, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. You have struggled with God and with men, and you have won. So your name will be Israel." Another example of a name with great purpose and meaning. And there's also times in Scripture when names are given that explains so much, the meaning that comes with it. For example, Genesis chapter 25, you find the birth of Esau and Jacob. The Bible says that the time, in verse 24, the time came for her to give birth, and she had twin sons. The first one was reddish, and his skin was like a hairy robe, so he was named Esau. The second one was born holding on tightly to the heel of Esau, so his name was Jacob. And then, of course, many, we all revert and know this, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And then in the 23rd verse, the Bible says, "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. All these great names, the name above all, the name of Jesus, but they carry with them God's meaning and blessing. Think about living up to your name today. And isn't it something how the world tries to change your name? Anybody ever heard this before? "Well, they just made my name Mud." Now, their name's not actually Mud. Their name is whatever, Judy or Ralph or whatever it might be. But because somebody maybe told a lie on them or put them in a certain, well, their name's Mud now. The world gives you all kinds of names, or tries to fit you in the mold that they would have you to squeeze into. Here in the Scripture, we have the account in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon following his attack on Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Let's bring in the finest Jewish young men that we can get. Very intelligent, young men of great wisdom and knowledge, the best of the best. And we're going to mold them and shape them into what we want them to be." Now, I want to tell you something, church. The devil is always out to condemn, corrupt, wreak havoc on your life. How many of you say this morning, "Sometimes it's like the devil is right on my back"? Anybody know that today? Amen. I want to tell you, the devil just gets on my back, and sometimes it's hard to get him off. And what he wants to do, he attacks the Christians. He attacks those that are trying to work for the Lord in many different ways. Sin, he attacks and hurts and brings about all manner of sickness. You know, the Bible says that all good things come from God. It's not God's desire that you should suffer, but living in a sin-cursed world, there is suffering. And the world would have given you a name different from what the Lord would give to you. Here in Scripture, I want you to notice this, that when these young men were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar desired to corrupt them, to corrupt what God had blessed. Now, we have here the account of Daniel and his three friends here, strong, intelligent, Jewish young men, God-fearing men, but the world, the evil pagan king, wanted to corrupt them. And the truth is, the world eats away or erodes at the heart and soul of man as we trudge through the day-to-day living. The sin of the world changes not only the outlook, but continually corrupts every aspect of a person's life. Amen. If you buy into it, if you listen to it, before you know it, you're doing some of the things that years ago you might not have done. Some call it peer pressure. You heard of that before. Some call it brainwashing. Maybe your granny said that. That old television, that video game, that whatever it is, that's just brainwashing. Some call it fads, style, new age movements, the popular stuff that's going on, the in crowd. If you want to fit in, you've got to become more like them so they will accept you. One of the key factors here, and I'll just call it brainwashing, in the book of Daniel, the first chapter, here in these seven verses, what did the king want to do? He wanted to brainwash Daniel. He wanted to brainwash his three friends, Hananiah. He wanted to brainwash Azariah and Mishael. He wanted them to buy into this false idol, for them to bow down and worship the falsehood, this pagan god. And this was one of the key links to this. What I want you to notice is the name switch. The name switch. Notice here what happened. We all know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You probably think about what? The fiery furnace. Everybody thinks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fiery furnace. Back up. Why were they thrown in the fiery furnace? Because the name the king gave them, they wouldn't accept. Because when the king said everybody will bow down and worship this idol, they said, no, we're not going to do that. When the world around you says this is the type of person you have to be successful, to be rich, wealthy, to fit in, you got to start doing these things, you got to start living this way. And when you don't do that, you may feel like that you've been thrown into the fiery furnace. Or in layman's terms, all of a sudden your name becomes mud in the circles that you, in your job, workplace, or the circles, those that folks that you might associate in. I want you to know this morning, the world and Satan and sin would give you a name completely opposite of the name that God would give you. The world would rather see you differently than how God would see you. You ever got around a crowd and you're a Christian and you standing for Christian values and you make other people uncomfortable? I'll tell you this, I've had experiences. I'd go to, I go up here to store on 40, you know, in all country stores, that's just gathering places for, you know, everybody gets together and they talk about the weather and politics. And if the men's there, they talking about the women. If the women haven't been there, they're talking about the men. Y'all didn't know that, right? Deb says they don't go, I've seen women up there. I know you're not telling the truth now. No. But I've been in there before, and everybody's all riled up about politics and the weather and farming and everything else. And I walk in, and man, they just cussing a blue streak. And somebody says, y'all better be quiet. There's a preacher from up in Somerset. I went in one time, and a gentleman as the first time I'd ever met him before, I won't call his name, but I knew him as a brother, this person and brother and all. And man, he come up to me, and when we was going to go fishing, I was getting some minnows, and he just cussed every third word. I mean, you know, he was going to town, and all of a sudden, somebody leaned across the counter and said, hey, that's a preacher from up at Somerset. And I never heard him say another cuss word the whole time I was there. It was like cutting the faucet off. He just dried up all of a sudden. But on the contrary, opposite of that, I've been there before, and some people were all riled up and cussing, and because the preacher showed up, they showed off even more. Y'all ever seen that before? Don't you walk away from me. I don't care if the preacher's in here or not. I know you're going fishing with. Come back over here. Blah, 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 blah. Just carrying on. When you get around the worldly, sometimes it makes other people uncomfortable because God's blessings is on you. They'd give you another name other than what God calls you blessed. They'd call you all kinds of stuff. Oh, hypocrite, doing this, doing that. They'd label you and name you all kinds of stuff. But don't buy in and don't live up to the garbage and the crap that they're selling. And that's a problem in the society today. Too many people are buying into all of this garbage that's out there, and they're living up to the exact name that the world is giving them. Amen? And we need to turn away from that and cut that off. And that's what happened here in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's look specifically at the names that he gave these three Jewish young men. Look here. Now, the first the Bible mentions is the name Hananiah. The Jewish name Hananiah, given to this young man by his parents, and it means the Lord is gracious. What a blessing when somebody sees you come around. Oh, here comes the Lord is gracious. They're reminded that God's a good God and a loving God, and He forgives sin. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing when they saw you to think about that? The king said, no, no, we can't do that. We don't want anybody to be reminded of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We got to cut that off and end that. We're not going to call you Hananiah anymore. We're going to give you this name. Your name from now on will be Shadrach. Now, what does Shadrach mean? It means the commands of Aku, a false pagan god. Aku, Achu, wipe your nose, it's crap. Let me tell you something. That's what's happening in the world today. People are lying to folks and they buying into it. They didn't want to see this young Jewish man and call him Hananiah. They wanted to call him Shadrach because it meant the commands of Aku, a horrible Babylonian god. Secondly, you find here in Scripture, Mishael, which means, who is like our God? When they saw this man coming and they called him, here comes Mishael, here comes, who is like our God? They're reminded of how great and wonderful God is. The king, the pagan king said, no, 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 we can't call him that. People will be thinking about the one true God. We've got to change his name. Let's call him Meshach. What does Meshach mean? It means, who is what Aku is. Again, this reference to a pagan god, it's a lie of spiritual strength and power. Aku was nothing more than the material that they formed the statue out of. That's all it is. But you see, the world can't stand Christian values. How many of you seen that in America today? The world can't stand people praying in the school systems, people praying in the courthouse, you saying the blessing at the dinner table in public. The world can't stand you living like a Christian because you're stepping on somebody's toes, you're cramping their style, it's making them uncomfortable. And these three Jewish young men said, we don't care. We're not going to live up to your name. We're not going to abide by your rules. We serve the one true God. Amen, church. Now, the third Jewish young man here that's given in Scripture, his name is Azariah. And Azariah means the Lord is my helper. What a great testimony. His name meant the Lord is my helper, but the king said, no, 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 we cannot do that. So we're going to give you this Babylonian name. We're going to change your name to Abednego, which means servant of Nabu. How about that? Isn't that the foolishest stuff you ever heard of? I'd heard all my life about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Never heard about Aku and Nabu. I might have said Achu, but that's about it. Think about that. That's silly. But I want to tell you something. The devil does a lot of stuff today that people think silly, and he is about corrupting and destroying everything that God has blessed. He's about breaking down the church, breaking down the home, breaking down the marriage, breaking down the children that we are trying to instill in these godly Christian values. These three young men had been given a name by their parents, a Jewish godly name, but the pagan king said, no, 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 we cannot call you by those names. We're going to call you by a different name. This is how we will know you. And he said, then you're going to bow down to this idol. And they said, we're not going to do it. And he said, then I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. If you won't live up to your name, then we're going to kill you. Let me tell you something. The world would like to rename every Christian, every preacher, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every person that'll stand on the values of God and His Word. All the devil has been trying to change the Word of God. He's been trying to rename people and change the purpose of God for thousands of thousands of years. Look at what he's doing in the country now. He's bringing about all kinds of new stuff, fad. Oh, this is a much better way of doing things. Do it this way. Let me tell you something. God started it. God will finish it. You don't need to do it any other way than what God says in His Word. Don't buy into the lies. Don't live up to the name that the world would give you. These young men from Jerusalem, Israelites, now they're in Babylon. Think about that. Babylon and Jerusalem, they represent two completely different lifestyles, two different cities, men and women who are citizens of both, two completely different loyalties, two gates, two ways, two masters. Today there is heaven and hell. There's two directions. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the fundamental lesson of the Christian life. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will hate the one and love the other, or you will love the one and hate the other. God would have you called by a name, blessed, forgiven, and the devil would call you mud, a liar, a thief. Every sin that you've ever committed, he'd want everybody to know about that and them to see that only, not see Jesus in your life. Two things was going on here in the scripture. First of all, it's isolation. Listen to this. Let me tell you something. The devil's all about isolation. That's what was happening right here in the king's court. They were isolated from the influences that would mold their lives and characters in the ways of the Lord. What did he do? He said, we're going to bring them, these Israelites, these Jewish young men, we don't want them to have any ties to their old way of life. We're going to bring them into the king's court. What did he say in verse 4? He says in verse 4 that they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. In other words, they wanted to indoctrinate them. They wanted to change their lifestyle so much that you forget about the life that you had before. The devil would love nothing more than to get you away from God and away from the church. People don't see this anymore. This has nothing to do with me, the deacons. I love you because God loves you. But let me tell you something. We are buying into the lie on a whole nother level in America today that we do not need to be associated with other Christians. The world tells you your new name is too busy. Your new name is too popular. Your new name is too important. And people are living up to these names. The devil's all about isolation. Notice what they did right here with these three Jewish young men. We want to get them away from their God, away from their friends, away from anything that reminds them of their old loyalty to Jerusalem. And we want to bring them in and teach them all about Aku and Nabu and all these other gods and get them so wound up that they just forget about all of that. I don't know about you, but there's at least one person on probably every heart this morning, somebody that's gotten so caught up in the things of this world that they've forgotten about the things of God. And anytime you put anything of the world ahead of God, that's a problem. That's an issue. You better watch out. And I've been guilty of it. Isolation, that's how the devil works. Indoctrination, that's how the devil works. You got to learn a new way of doing something, a new style. You got to keep up with the fads in order to be popular. They said, we're going to make them think as the pagans think rather than as followers of God. We're going to make them worship the idol rather than Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. The king said, you'll accept this new name and lifestyle, or I'll throw you into the fiery furnace. And he did just that. But they survived because God delivered them. Bringing it on my level today, there are two names really that you and I can be given, the name of the world and the name of God. You could call me today, my full name's Herman Jason Andrews. You could call me prideful, selfish, successful. You can call me just Mr. Successful if you want to. How about that? Think I'll just go on wrestling maybe this week. Makes me think of years ago when I was a little boy and watched Mr. Successful. How about that? I'm glad we got that on video. That'll wake somebody up this week. How many people live like that, though? Well, you can call me Mr. Successful. You could also call me Mr. Worldly, or you could just call me by my nickname, Lost. The direction that I'm going in is hell if I didn't know Jesus. A lot of people are living up to that name today. Mr. Successful, Mr. Lost, Mr. or Ms. Hellbound, Mr. Worldly. And that's a shame. The world has given them another name and they've bought into it. Wouldn't it be better to be called forgiven or blessed or righteous? I remember in high school, one of the most important things to me as a young man was to be Mr. Romantic. This is getting real good. I hope you're getting all of this. I don't do this often. Ladies, how about your husband? You know, you met him and you thought, man, he's a real looker. And he probably thought, I am Mr. Romantic. I mean, you know, a real ladies' man. That was an important thing. You had all your buddies. You're in high school. Y'all in the hallway in the school, and you're thinking, we want all the girls to like us. We want to be Mr. Romantic, Mr. Loverboy, call me whatever they want to call me, but I got to do certain things to live up to that name. I mean, I've really got to stand out in some way. Now, here's where it really gets troubling. You see, the Bible lays forth rules and laws of God, and we know in relationships there are even rules and laws that we are to follow as a Christian, boundaries and guidelines that we don't cross, and when we cross that line, it brings about struggles and other things. But at the price of people being called Mr. Romantic or a real ladies' man or things like that, we begin to cross boundaries that God's Word says don't do that. You know, in God's Word, we're told that we shouldn't have that physical intimacy. And you all know what I'm talking about before marriage. But now, don't get me wrong, God forgives all sin, any sin at any time. But to live up to the name that the world would give you, many people sell out in so many different ways to be considered something special. Mr. Successful, Mr. Wealthy, Mr. Right, Mr. Proud, Mr. Romantic. And we buy into these lies, and sin and sin and sin abounds in America today. I would rather be called forgiven, blessed, righteous, Mr. Righteous, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, not of anything of my own, that the world would never see me because I am, as Paul says, I'm a mess, but that they would see me and think about Jesus, that he died on that cross. It's his righteousness in which I claim, and you can call me for short, Christian, because it takes out about the meaning that I'm a follower. I look to my Heavenly Father to lead and guide me. We have a tendency to live up to the labels that the world puts on us when we're pressured to fit into their profile. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God for the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver us? God, what would you call me today? Not what the world would call me, or not what I call myself sometimes, but Lord, what do you think about me today? God, help us to see like God sees. Who can deliver us? I thank God, Paul said in verse 25, that through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, even though the flesh, the law of sin. Friends, don't let the world and sin make you fit into their label. Wouldn't you like to be called forgiven or loved or healed or set free from the way to sin? You might have been called a whole lot of names in your life, but I want to tell you, I'd love nothing more to call you this, my brother and sister in Christ. As a pastor, I've stood behind that pulpit many times when there was a casket right here. And of all the things that I could say about somebody or call somebody, there's no higher acclaim than to say they were a child of God. My brother and sister in Christ. Crowds will gather and family will gather and we talk about the things that they've done and the impact that they've had, but at the end of it all, you can be Mr. Wealthy, Mr. Successful, Mr. Important, Mr. Right. But to be called a Christian, it's the most important thing. And of everything else that you can be given and do, it don't, as Granny said, it don't amount to a hill of beans if you don't do it for the Lord. And that's where it's at. So no matter what the world has called you, God's calling you today. Can you hear him? God's calling you today. And he's not using a name like anybody else that you work with would use, like family might use, like people that you would meet on the street would use. He's calling you in an intimate, personal way. Forgiven, blessed, righteous, he's calling you today. And I don't care what they tell you out there. Based on the authority of God, in here, he loves you. And that's the most important thing. And to be called today a child of God, one day when Jason Andrews is right there in that casket, whoever's in that pulpit, above all they can say about me, to say that I love the Lord Jesus Christ, that I was a child of God. That's the main thing I want them to say. It's where it all matters. Think about these scriptures as we close today, church. And think about the name that you've been living up to. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 33, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever shall have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." There's a book in heaven of the name that you have. The most important thing is that it would be written in heaven. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, John writes, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Your name, today, written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. It don't get no better than that. That's your bottom line. If your name's written there, don't worry about what anybody else will call you. Worry about what God thinks of you and live up to that name. Blessed, forgiven, righteous, loved. God loves you. And Jesus died for you. I want you to bow your head with me this morning. If God's Spirit has spoken to your heart today, I want you to consider your way of living. And now we come to the invitation. I'm going to offer two prayers today, church. And you probably will fit into one of these two categories. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now in which your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. If you've never accepted Jesus and you want to do that, I want you to pray silently with me right where you are. Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. By faith, I receive your gift of salvation. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. And keep your heads bowed. And for you who are here this morning and you've struggled and the world has labeled you and named you, and maybe you've gone after the things of this world and you've made mistakes, this is the prayer of invitation for you today. It's of rededicating your life to Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for not abandoning me to my mistakes, but for reaching out instead to bring me home. Help convict me of sin and help me accept your mercy without shame. Thank you for the love you have poured out for me and all of your children. Help me live out of that love today. In Jesus' name, amen.